This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. In last night's final presidential debate, the candidates once again had a difficult time with a few of the facts. In some cases, President Bush and John Kerry repeated the same misstatements they had made in previous debates. Both also came up with some new inaccurate things to say. Here's NPR's John Inskeep.
The first misstatement of fact came only minutes into the debate during this exchange between Senator Kerry and the president about the war on terror and Osama bin Laden.
This president was asked, "Where is Osama bin Laden?" He said, "I don't know. I don't really think about him very much. I'm not that concerned." We need a president who stays deadly focused on the real war on terror.
Mr. President.
I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden. It's kind of one of those exaggerations.
But it turns out Mr. Bush was the one who was mistaken. Senator Kerry had quoted almost verbatim this comment the president made during a news conference from March of 2002.
So I don't know where he is, nor do, I just don't spend that much time on him.
Moments later in that news conference, Mr. Bush added this.
I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him. I know he is on the run. I was concerned about him when he had taken over a country.
That was President Bush in 2002. Also during Senator Kerry's criticism of the president's handling of the war on terror, the senator repeated this less-than-complete statement about containers coming into the nation's ports.
95% come in today, uninspected. That's not good enough.
Actually, manifests listing the contents of all containers are screened before they arrive at U.S. ports. High-risk cargo is identified, and those containers, about 5% of the total, are opened and inspected. On health care, both candidates made claims that were not factual. Mr. Kerry said his health plan would cover all Americans. In fact, it would likely reduce the ranks of the uninsured by about 25 million, leaving about 20 million without coverage. The president's claim last night that the Kerry health plan would cost $5 trillion is also dodgy, says NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner.
That's certainly a number that's much higher than we've seen. I think what the president was referring to was the $7,700 per person it costs to put people on the health plan that covers members of Congress and federal workers. I think he was multiplying that $7,700 times the 45 million people who don't have insurance, and that's how he got to the $5 trillion. In fact, most of the people who would be covered under Senator Kerry's plan would go on the Medicaid program or the state children's health insurance program.
The president also said that Senator Kerry had no record on health care. Is that true?
Senator Kerry doesn't have a long record on health care. I think the main reason is because the other senator from Massachusetts, Senator Kennedy, has long been a leader in health care. So if you're John Kerry and you come to the Senate in 1985, health care is not really the issue you're going to take up.
On the subject of the flu vaccine shortage, Mr. Bush made this claim about the reason only a limited number of companies produce the vaccine. It also served as a jab at Kerry's running mate, former trial lawyer John Edwards.
We have a problem with litigation in the United States of America. Vaccine manufacturers are worried about getting sued, and so therefore they have backed off from providing this kind of vaccine.
Julie Rovner says that's only a small part of the story.
The vaccine is only good for 1 year. If you don't sell all your vaccine, which doesn't sell for very much per dose, you have to throw it away. It's not a particularly economically viable business.
Both candidates also tossed around numbers concerning Mr. Kerry's Senate record on tax votes. Mr. Bush repeated his claim that the senator had voted to raise taxes 98 times. Senator Kerry responded with this.
Bob, anybody can play with these votes. Everybody knows that. I have supported or voted for tax cuts over 600 times.
NPR congressional reporter Andrea Seabrook says that the numbers from both sides really don't have much meaning.
Especially when you're counting up 1,000 little teeny votes on amendments that don't actually mean anything. Neither of them are really counting actual votes on big tax cuts or tax raising bills.
Last night, Senator Kerry also repeated a misstatement about job losses during the Bush administration.
He's also the only president since in 72 years to lose jobs. 1.6 million jobs lost.
NPR's Jim Zeroli has been following that story.
It is only accurate if you're talking about private sector jobs. If you add in government jobs, the net number of jobs lost is much less. It's about 600,000. However, it is true that, as Senator Kerry often says, President Bush appears likely to be the first president since Herbert Hoover to see a net loss of jobs during his administration.
Finally, President Bush made this claim about the distribution of his big tax cuts.
Most of the tax cuts went to low and middle income Americans. And now the tax code is more fair.
I don't know what it is. I don't know where he's getting that.
That's Brooks Jackson, director of factcheck.org, a website that's been holding the candidates' feet to the fire throughout the campaign.
The Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center calculates nearly 53% of the tax cuts went to the top 10% of U.S. households.
And, says Jackson, low and middle income Americans, the bottom 60%, got only 14% of the tax cuts. Last night was the final presidential debate, but with 19 days before the election, it was certainly not the last chance for the candidates to get their facts wrong. John Itzde, NPR News, Washington.